Good evening and welcome to session two of our Equip series. My name is Jacob Thomas. I'm excited that you're here. Whether you're a member of Redemption Church or you're just joining us for our Equip series, thank you for joining us. Last week, we looked at some practical ways to share your faith one-on-one, and I want to thank Jason for that. That was awesome. This week, we're going to look at evangelism in the workplace. Sharing your faith in the workplace can be difficult, especially in a culture that is turning more and more hostile towards Christianity. Asuk Nagnani, a writer for the Nine Marks website, said this about the difficulties of sharing your faith in the workplace. You could hardly be blamed for being more fearful. The rapid advance of social liberalism and human resources policies promoting workplace tolerance only exacerbate the two fears we commonly cite for not sharing the gospel with our coworkers: fear of social harm and fear of career repercussions, like job loss or career stalls. Evangelism has been hard. If there is anything new about our challenges today, it's how emboldened the opposition seems to be. Non-Christians used to say to each his own. Now they're just as likely to accuse us of stupidity or hateful bigotry. But man, it can also be a place that God works through you to redeem your coworkers and your workplace. I mean, just think about it. Other than your family, who do you see more than your coworkers? I mean, you have 15 hours, 20 hours, 40 or more hours a week to be light and salt to the people around you in the workplace. God has placed you there for His purposes, for His glory, for His mission. And God can use you if you would put your yes on the table. Just listen to the story of Asuk, how he came to know Christ. I was a researcher at a mid-sized consulting firm in Washington, D.C. I was a self-confident, self-sufficient, professionally prospering Hindu. You wouldn't have assumed I was spiritually uncertain. Frankly, I didn't know I was spiritually uncertain. What I was not was a guy who was actively seeking Christ. Enter my Christian colleague, Hunter, well-known and well-liked around the office. Hunter was a high-performing sales guy with a range of interests. Someone told me once, he's a Christian, you know. Neither one of us knew for sure what that meant, but both of us believed it was relevant enough to add a knowing. I did know Hunter didn't fit the mold of a Christian that I had mentally constructed. Christians were nice, old-fashioned, hypocritical, one-two notes, and Hunter was not that. So I started watching him. We became friends. We spent time together and talked about a range of topics. The Simpsons, Lord of the Rings, Christ, Krishna, coffee, and work. While the Lord used Hunter to pursue me, I never felt like a project, just a friend. As only God can do, He providentially arranged for Hunter to be there at the same time that God orchestrated a spiritual crisis in my life. And He gave Hunter the wisdom and boldness to speak truth into my life when I needed it most. Man, I love this story because it's a great example of how God can use us in the workplace to bring others into His family. God can use you to bring your coworkers to Himself. And before we dive into the practical part of our time, I want to spend a couple moments talking about the way we think about work. One article that I read said that there were two kinds of people that report for work on a Monday morning. One has the approach, I am an employee who happens to be a Christian. The other has the approach, I am a Christian called to serve God as an employee. The difference between the two is profound. The first sees his job as a job. The second sees his job as a ministry and work as a means to worship. He realizes that he's on mission every day he goes to work, and that mission is to impact the workplace for Christ. Man, guys, I wish I had read this quote 15 years ago, because I haven't always been a pastor. I was a banker for 8 years before this. I was a car salesman before that. I was a waiter in college. And I went to work every day with the perspective that I am an employee who happens to be a Christian. I didn't look at work for what it is. It is a God-honoring act. It is a chance to glorify God in work. I mean, the God that we serve, He Himself is a worker. We see in Genesis 1 and 2 that God worked to create all that there is. And God continues to work in the world on a daily basis now. And we are to imitate God in life. Therefore, work isn't a punishment. It's not a result of the fall. Work in itself has value and worth. And if we would see work as something that has value and worth and is given by God to glorify God, man, it changes the way we work. It changes how we interact with our coworkers. And I don't know everybody listening right now. I don't know how you've been thinking about work or how you've been acting at work. But if you're like me and your tendency is to view work as drudgery or just a job, man, I want to remind you that there is grace. Jesus worked on our behalf by giving his life on the cross to forgive us for those moments that we don't act kindly at work. Or those moments when we complain and grumble about that latest policy. Or we complain and grumble about that customer that we think is ridiculous. And my prayer and hope is that as Christians, we would flip our view to see that God has given us a ministry in our workplace for his glory. That we would start handing out those delightful, sugar-filled desserts at Starbucks for the kingdom. The workplace is a great place to practice missional living like Jason talked about last week. And if you didn't watch that video, I encourage you to go back and watch that video. So what does that mean on a daily basis at work? Well, guys, I got five tips that help us to start to think about sharing your faith in the traditional workplace. And then after we talk about the traditional workplace, I actually have two non-traditional workplaces that I want to talk a little bit about and give a couple of tips on. For right now, let's talk about the traditional workplace. And I got five tips, and these are from a book. I thought they were really good. And if you want to read the full article, just let me know in the chat or email me. I'll send out that link. The first tip he gives is put Christ on the table. To put Christ on the table at work might sound like a duh statement, you know, but I got to ask you a question. Does your coworkers know that you're a Christian? Do they know that you follow Christ? Man, I worked in the traditional workplace for 15 years, and it is rare to meet Christians in the workplace. And this doesn't mean that you walk around with your Bible in hand, ready to thump people in the head, or ignoring your work to share the gospel every moment of the day. And just a quick side note, by the way, if that's what you're doing, you're just sharing the gospel every minute of the day and not actually working, that's called stealing, because if you aren't working and getting a paycheck, you're not doing your job. So do your job well. But it does mean to put Christ on the table is that people you work with know that you proclaim Christ in your life. Now, I'm not perfect in a lot of ways when it comes to the workplace. I'm sure if you went back and talked to my coworkers that I worked with, they would tell you I wasn't perfect. Okay. But this is one area that I feel like I did okay in, okay? Because like anybody who works a Monday through Friday job knows what question you're going to get Friday morning. And that question is, man, what'd you do this weekend? And if you did something cool, you know, we all share. You know, if you went parasailing or, I don't know, went wrestling alligators or whatever, you're going to share. That's just who we are. But if it was like a normal weekend, you didn't do very much, you know, the answer is usually, oh, nothing much. But guys, this is how I used to answer this question. Oh, it was a good weekend. It was a pretty normal weekend. I didn't do anything crazy, but I spent some time with my family and I went to church. Now, it was small. That's super simple. But it was a way of letting them know that I believed in something. Another example that from the time that I worked at the bank is the coworkers I had knew what night of the week I had community group. And they knew what night I had community group was because I would be rushing everybody to close up because I had to get ready for community group. And those are small things, but it was a way for them to share that I was a Christ follower. Like, for instance, with community group, I had to explain what a community group was to people. My coworkers didn't know what that was. which that gave me a chance to share. And I'd share something like, oh, I'm a Christ follower and I believe in community. A community group is just a group of people coming together every week to live life with one another. Super simple, but it puts Christ on the table. What are some ways that you can put Christ on the table this week at work? The second tip would be to work with excellence. Man, that's easy to say, harder to do on a daily basis. You know, in scripture, we are called to live without grumbling or complaining. That's Philippians 2:14. We're to submit to our authorities, aka your boss, Ephesians 6. We're called to serve humbly as Christ served humbly. We're to imitate God in the way that he worked, and he was creative and he did things with purpose. So we work with excellence. And this is not evangelism in itself. But if you're going to put Christ on the table, you can believe that your non-Christian coworkers are going to be watching how you work. And whether it's fair or right, they're going to judge Christ by your work ethic. So if you're going to put Christ on the table, work with excellence. The third thing is love your peers. With this point, I want to point out what Jason pointed out last week. Your coworkers aren't a project. They're not a task or a checklist for you to check off that you did your part that week. People are the mission. Jesus loves them. Jesus loved you. And I'm willing to bet that you know Christ because someone who loved Jesus invested their time, talent, and treasure into you. Therefore, because Jesus loves them, we love them. Man, sacrifice for your coworkers. Use your lunchtime strategically. Take your coworkers out to lunch. If it's someone's birthday, get them a card and wish them a happy birthday. Go that extra mile. Let them know that they are loved. The fourth tip is prepare to evangelize. Man, this cannot be said enough. Practice. Like that great video clip from Allen Iverson in the early 2000s. We ain't talking about practice. Or are we talking about practice, not the game, practice. And if you haven't watched it, YouTube it, it'll change your life. Trust me. This is something, man, I think we miss. God gave us the church to sharpen each other. Yet how many times do you practice with another brother and sister in Christ? Maybe someone in the church can help you with different ways to share the gospel with your coworkers. God hasn't thrown you into the deep end and told you to swim. No. In the church, he's given you a lifeguard who can help you as you learn to swim. And then what happens is one day you can become the lifeguard and help somebody else swim. We have to be vulnerable enough to say we need practice, and then we need to practice. That's how we get better. And the fifth thing is pray. Psalms 145, 18 through 19 says, "The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears them cry and saves them." Man, if God fulfills the desires of his people, then we should be saturating the beginning, middle, and end of evangelism in the workplace with prayer. When was the last time you prayed for the salvation of your coworkers? Man, if God saved every person that you prayed for this past week, how many people would be welcomed into the family of God? I believe that prayer is the most important thing that we can do because when we pray, we see God move. Man, just go read the book of Nehemiah. That's what the whole book is about, is how Nehemiah prayed and then he did some extraordinary things for God and for the nation of Israel. Man, I hope these tips begin to help you start to formulate a way to evangelize your workplace. And before we end, there's two non-traditional workplaces that I want to speak to. The first is working from home, because before the pandemic, 21% of people worked from home. Last year, that jumped up to 71% of jobs were out of the home. And then according to one survey I read, 48.1% of Americans are still working from home. So that means the way that we do evangelism in the workplace just got a little different for those working at home. It's going to take a little more intentionality than before because coworkers aren't around you every day like they were. There may be weeks where you don't talk to anybody from work, but God can still use you in the workplace. And so I got three tips for reaching your virtual coworkers. The first is pray. Same as the traditional workplace. We need to pray for ourselves and we need to pray for our coworkers. God is the one that has the power to change. And in evangelism, man, we always feel like it's our words and our actions are the things that matter most, which we do need to speak, okay? That is an important part of it. But what if it wasn't about your words to your coworkers and more about the words that you pray to God? Are you believing that God can use you and then pleading to God to save them? Because God is the one that saves and prayer is the catalyst. Second tip is daily or weekly check-ins. Man, since you're not physically around your coworkers, daily or weekly check-ins with your coworkers show them that you care. Not just sending an email, not just calling them to talk about work either. Calling or texting them to find out how they're doing. If it's their birthday, send a happy birthday card or send a happy birthday meme by text or give a call or send them a card. If they're getting married or they're getting a promotion, man, show them some love. And the third thing, use different forms of communication. Emails are the worst. Okay, I'm an introvert, therefore I love emails. But they're so impersonal and our culture is so used to them. Therefore, think outside the box. If it is their birthday and your friends on social media, man, post them that and wish them a happy birthday. Man, give them a call. Stop in for a couple minutes and just give them a call. That shows them that you're thinking about them. And then you're taking time out of your day to show them love. Man, that speaks volumes. And through things like that, you'll get opportunities to share the gospel with them. And then guys, lastly, I want to speak to a form of work that gets overlooked in my opinion. Man, stay-at-home moms. Because let's be real here, okay? That is a full-time job. I don't have a ton of tips here because obviously I'm not a stay-at-home mom, okay? But there are three tips that I found from different stay-at-home moms that I just thought were good, and so I wanted to share them. The first, this might seem a little familiar, pray. Man, seems to be a theme here, right? Prayer. Prayer is that important, and I don't have a lot to add to whatever I said about prayer, but I wanted to give one example from one mom that I just thought was good. Okay, she goes on walks with her kids throughout their neighborhood about three or four times a week. And during these times, she'll pray for the people she knows, the neighbors she knows. And then she'll also pray for the neighbors that she doesn't know and that she'll come to know them. She'll pray that the neighborhood would come to Jesus and that God would use her family to do so. And I just thought that was so good because it's something that she naturally does, but she's using it for an intentional purpose to pray for her neighbors. The second thing I found was join a mom group. Man, Facebook has plenty of these and pretty much every city there is in the United States. Join a group of other moms so that you can get around non-Christian moms with the intention of sharing the gospel. One mom said she joined a book club and not a Christian book club. She wasn't just reading the Bible. This wasn't a Bible study. This was a book club that was reading books like Eat, Pray, Love, which I've never read, but apparently it's not a Christian book. But through it, her worldview came out naturally. And so like Jason talked about worldviews last week and how everyone has one. This comes out in books. And it's an easy way to share the hope that we have in Christ. And maybe it's not a book club for you. But take whatever interest you have and find a group to join with the intention of sharing the gospel. And then the third thing that I just thought this was really good, man, bring your kids along in the journey. Pastor Carter has told this story before, but I'm going to use it again. Last summer, his family was out at a playground with their kids and their kids were playing with some other kids. And while the kids were playing, their middle child, Gwen, told some some kid that she was playing with that Jesus loves them. Man, that didn't just happen. Tamara and Carter moved here to make disciples for Jesus, and then they taught that to their children. They brought their children on the journey too. Are you teaching your children to love Jesus and his mission? Are you seeing, or are they seeing you live with missional intentionality? And show them what God has shown you. Teach them about the love that Christ has for them and how Jesus satisfies their everything, their life, and how Jesus loves all people. And if you do that, I guarantee that they'll be telling somebody about Jesus soon. You know, kids, they don't stay quiet, which then will then give you opportunities to share about Jesus. Guys, I hope this is helpful to everybody watching. Whether you're in a traditional setting or in a non-traditional workplace, guys, there's no clear-cut 1, 2, 3 steps of sharing your faith. But hopefully this helps you start to think about ways to tell people about the gospel and start praying for your coworkers. That's a first step. Start praying for them. And then start practicing with other Christians. Put Jesus on the table and let God do what he does. So next week, guys, join in again to hear about evangelism through hospitality. Thanks. Have a great week.